Yes, sir. What is your name, sir?
My name is Eugene Bilbao.
Okay, let's see who's going to help you now, sir. Okay, the Honorable Mr. Miller will say there's a reason for you hearing at this time, so just hang on, sir.
I can hardly hear you.
I'm just saying that the Honorable Mr. Miller will conduct his hearing, so just hang on to the phone, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Honorable?
Yes.
Okay, would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Eugene Bilbao, 299-722.
Okay, sir, you're 34 years old, you're detecting 22 this afternoon in reference to the union supervision location. I'm here with the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. To my very far right, the Honorable Michael Johnson. To his left, the Honorable Leah Rittenhouse. To her left, the Honorable Dr. C.P. Wright, who's our board chairman. To my left, the Honorable Leah Norris. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead today. Also in the room, we have Mr. Weston from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the parole
office.
Prior to this hearing, sir, you received a notification form advising you of the hearing. Do you remember that form?
Yes.
Okay, on that form, you were notified you'd like to appear and speak on your behalf or obtain a license of attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself.
Okay, this time I'm going to swear you and Mr. Weston again. So, you found and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so affirm?
Yes.
And you, can you hear me move back in two phases, sir? In phase one, you determined if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. Then if they've been violated, in phase two, you determined whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the two allegations that are on your warrant. After each one, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false, or if you want to plead the fifth. And the reason for pleading the fifth is a report number listed on your warrant that indicates there may be some pending charges out there. And anything you say in this hearing will be recorded and could be used against you in any other actions, okay?
Okay.
All right, so allegation number one is violation of railroad conditional supervision number five, as demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaulting behavior on or about May 1st, 2018, at 4614 North 88th Avenue in Phoenix, Arizona. Is that true or false, or your list of clear or fish?
No, that's false. Yes.
Okay, we'll have, in the second phase, we'll have ample time to explain it, okay?
Okay.
All right, and allegation number two is violation of the railroad conditional supervision number two, as demonstrated by your failure to maintain contact with the assigned parole officer after you moved from the accused residence on or about May 9, 2018. Your whereabouts you are known, unless you are scared from supervision. So is that true or false, or is it true or false?
There's an explanation to that. I called my parole officer, I explained what happened.
Okay, sir. Did you make contact with your parole officer after you were asked to leave that residence on the...
Yes, I contacted my parole officer and I told her...
Okay, so then my answer...
I had contact with the police.
Okay, sir, so the answer to my question is it's false.
Yes.
Okay. So at this time, because you said both of them were false, we're going to go to Mr. Weston and we will read the two different allegations.
Okay. Offender's sister child, Vicky's mother, was called and supervise the Phoenix Police Department protective contact information. On May 9th, 2018, Phoenix Police Department Detective Princeton was called and advised the 12-year-old victim posted a Snapchat video, quote, "Why did this happen to me?" Phone responded, quote, "What has happened?" The victim advised she was raped by her uncle on Tuesday, May 1st, 2018, and May 2nd, 2018. Friend contacted her parents, who contacted the school counselor, who then called the police. A forensic interview was conducted, and it's believed that uncle, Frederick O'Neill, has been grooming the child over the past few months, touching her on the buttocks as she passed it, and saying things that made her uncomfortable and angry. I believe the security used the condom, and it was penile vaginal penetration, and encouraged her to engage in oral sex. The sheets of clothing were taken in evidence, and interviewed with her friend who denied contact. The friend refused to take a polygraph, but was otherwise cooperative, according to Detective Princeton. The investigation is ongoing, pending lab results. Follow-up. On May 9th, 2018, Peter Williams Hancock called his sponsor's sister, Olga McDonald, who lives with her, his mother, and two little girls located at 4614 North Eaton Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. Olga advised that she didn't suspect the story unraveling last Wednesday. Her daughter, Sylvia, is age 12, told her friend that he had raped her. The friend told her parent, that parent called school, and the school called police. They took her daughter to be interviewed by detectives, and she was taken to the hospital. When she came home last night, they sat down and talked, and she believes her daughter. The daughter did not want him in there, and was trying to get him out of the house. Olga thought it was a personality conflict or something, but she believes now that he had been making her uncomfortable or molesting her for a while. She feels bad that he's going to jail, but she has to believe and stand by her child. Numerous attempts to contact the friend of Renee, directing him to report for staffing and alternate housing, and he failed to respond.
14 stories. What about that in your thoughts?
Okay, the whole thing is false about my niece's death, but this is the thing. We were having problems at home. She didn't, okay, when I got out, there's no man in the house, no nothing. I got four nieces, a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 16-year-old, and an 18-year-old. Three girls and the 18-year-old, my nephew is 18. I guess I was being too rough with them. I didn't allow them to do the things that they used to do, like smoke weed and all that. So, and then I guess I was being too rough on them and they didn't want me in the house. So I don't know what else to say. About the parole officer, I called him. I told him I needed it. I was going to look for a place to stay. I didn't find a place to stay that soon, and by that time I got arrested and they took me in.
Okay, so
I had a job, I was doing good, I was going to work, I had a car,
okay,
I had a car.
Sir, okay.
Let me ask
allegation number two. Mr. Musky.
On May 9th, 2018, the offender spoke to his officer, Williams Hancock, on the phone, and disclosed that he was questioned by the Phoenix Police Department as a suspect in a child molestation investigation. He said that he was being told he could not return to his residence at that time. During the call, the offender was advised to stay in contact with his assigned officer for further direction, as the case needed to be staffed with an office supervisor. Later in the morning, the officer, Williams Hancock, attempted to reach the offender via phone call on his cell with no success. A text message was also sent to the offender in an attempt to establish contact with no success. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he's not signed for supervision. Follow-up. On May 17, 2018, Paul officer Williams Hancock contacted the offender's sister, who reported the family has not had contact with the offender and will not return to the property. May 17, 2018, the sheriff's was reported for a previously scheduled appointment with his assigned parole officer.
Thank you, sir. So,
okay. What is the only thing I've had? That phone number they called, that's not my phone number, I didn't have a cell phone number. That was my sister that were calling. I called the parole officer from a different phone, like a payphone or something. I didn't call her from my cell phone. My parole officer does not have a cell phone for me, and I never had a cell phone since I got out. So, when the parole officer tried to contact me, and then I don't have a cell phone, my sister couldn't contact me either. I was running around the streets trying to find a place to stay until finally I ran into a hotel room for a week.
Okay.
And that's where I was.
Sir? Okay, so,
yes.
I'll concede that you didn't have cell phones or the phone call and the text message with somebody else. However,
yes.
Somebody else's the one that was telling you to show up on the 17th for face to face with the parole officer, and you didn't show up. So what is, did you show up and you didn't know you were there, or did you just not show up?
I didn't know that she wanted me to see me on the 17th. She usually meets me up at a restaurant called Cracker Barrel, and she usually tells me that, okay, we're going to see you on this day. That month, I was supposed to call her like a few weeks before, like a week or something like that, after the first of the month. And then that's when all that went down. And then, so I didn't even have a phone, and I hadn't run over the contact here. I never meant to run away from the world. As soon as I found a place to stay, I was going to call and tell her, look, I'm going to live here. But I didn't have a study and a stable place to stay.
Okay, sir. Okay.
She told me, as soon as you find a place to stay, let me know. I didn't have a place to stay to let her know.
Sir, okay. Ms. Westby?
Yeah, just within the front of those here from Oscar Williams, Hancock, and I see on April 19th, the front of the report was his mother, and we report the third case of each month, and it says the next report date is May 17th, 2010, so he was instructed on April 19th that the due date to report was due on May 17th.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so we're going to do this, this hearing on. So, based on the information on 208W1477 and the information supplied by Mr. Westby, I'm going to move to find that Mr. DeVale or Lincoln has entirely confidential superintendent and that he may not last or not last in 2 days from coming.
Second. Agreed.
Okay. Motion by myself, second by Mr. Kilmer, and given by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Kilmer. Okay, sir.
So we're saying that Alice County is
sir.
So I want to say that Alice County, yes.
Okay, you should look into phase two. And once we get really in phase two, then you'll have more opportunity to explain yourself and ask questions, okay?
Okay.
All right, Mr. Westby's going to get some background information, so stay on the phone. I'll be right back with you. Mr. Westby.
On December 26, 2017, Mr. Cabral was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested May 29, 2018 by the Fugitive Apprehension Unit, the Arizona Charges. His fact was in custody May 29, 2018, with an adjusted to his supervision of October 14, 2018, 20 of his current conviction, 2015, theft and use of transportation, 3.5 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in DHC. Senior IR score 2-2, mental health score 2, substance abuse score is not listed. There's no name information noted, no prior terms of supervision. He has no disciplinary violations. Other arrests, 2002, burglary, second degree, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2003, stolen property, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2007, burglary, second degree, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2009, theft vehicle, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2009, resisting public officer, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2013, cruelty to animals, Arizona, disposition unknown. The school of whistle is a G5B5, as such charges from Senior Officer Rich dated June 22nd, 2018, that states Phoenix PD has sent off evidence for DNA testing and are continuing with their investigation into the alleged child molestation. Charges have not been filed yet, but could be forthcoming bringing results from the DNA testing.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so we're going to the cases, then somewhere here on the page, looks like so when you were reading a previous page, your sister thing there.
Yes.
And then we're going until May 9th, 2018, and we were directed to move out of there, not returned by the police department because of the case. So you say you have to be left out, you were employed by Western people, you're kind of roaming the streets, you're homeless.
I was roaming the streets, I had money, but I didn't want to spend money, so I would stay at a friend's house for money, and then I'll continue looking for a house to live or an apartment, and everywhere I went, like, they either didn't have any apartments available, or I ended up having to get a weekly motel, and that was $300 a week. So I still got a little bit of money out there. I got $200 in my bank account and we check from my job in case I could get out. I got money so I could rent me a house or an apartment or something. But I didn't find anywhere to stay during that time. If not, I would have called the parole officer and told them, hey, you know, this is where I'm going to be staying. And instead, I don't know, my whole head was confused. I was wondering, why would my family do this to me? I was in the same shock, you know? Like, that's something, you don't do that to your own family. And, I don't know what to say. I'm just, I got a job where I get out. I got to continue working. I got a car. I got my driver's license. I didn't have a driver's license for so long. It took me a long time, but I finally got it. I was doing good. And just, I guess, I was being too rough on my nieces and they didn't want me in the house. And unfortunately, that they said all that about me and I should give them to it. I don't care. I still love them. And I mean, I just wish I could get out there again. My mother has cancer. We gave her 6 months to live. I wish I could be out there.
Okay,
to
sir.
To save her the remaining of her time, you know?
You say whenever you release, the construction company's going to take you back?
Oh.
Okay, you said you were going to we have a name of my contract.
Yeah, she was Stephen's contracting company. They would take me back. I was a good worker.
Okay. So, it looks like when you were not assigned any kind of programming, but you were assigned a task. And there's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Spending money?
Do you have any problems with drugs or alcohol, sir?
No problems with drugs. I don't do drugs. I don't do alcohol.
Okay. That's very commendable. In this day and age, it's harder to find people that don't do any of it. Alright, so, looks like on March 9th, this would be May 9th, there's a typo, not just March 9th, it would be May 9th, we filed a report of the police contact, and he said the police was 15 and had mental health problems.
Yes, sir.
And then that's his husband, Jeff, and then and others with a 94-year-old birth certain problem. At that time, the incidents involved the same 12-year-old niece that is involved in the incident from the police report, or is that a different niece? So is that a different niece?
It's the same niece. It's the same niece. Well, it's a different niece, the one that the cops would have called there for. But it was my same niece. I guess my niece pulled out a knife, and then when the cops got there, my niece is all waving a knife at the guards, at the police officers, and then they were outside, and she was alone inside the house because they told us to get outside of the house, and she was probably like 2 hours before they actually come to her down, and they went and they talked to her. And that's when I called the parole officer and told him I had contact with the police.
Well,
so every time I had contact with the police, I would call and I would talk to my officer, like, okay, this is going down. Now, like, this happened, that way she knows what's going on, you know, because one of the conditions of parole is to report anytime you had contact with the police. So I was doing as I was instructed to do.
And it looks like you were in the follow-ups on your sanctions. And you're talking about it, you have to tell me you can always put it on your app, you know, a face-to-face understanding. What it says, they're on the thing on May 9th of 2018, they were different detections of bias, or any of their techniques of bias, and they also found a murder hit, a 2014 burglary, and then they were talking to you about it, and they were kind of evidence that, you know, brings it all back up, so don't be surprised. Don't be surprised, they got some other things they want to talk to you about. Let me see if there's any questions from my fellow board members.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Kilbauer?
Yes.
Just a quick question. You said that when you were with living with your sister?
Yes.
That you were the man of the house and that maybe you were too rough with them. But what do you mean by rough?
What I mean rough with them is I wouldn't allow them to smoke weed. When I got there, one of them had a vaporizer that they were smoking out of, and that's my 12-year-old. And it's just, it was really different when I got, because when I went to prison, I was there for 3 years. So when I got out, they're up 12, 13, and the other one's 15. And so now they're doing things that I wasn't used to seeing them do, like smoke weed or anything like that. So that's what I mean by I was too rough with them. I wouldn't allow none of that at home. I wouldn't allow, like, all the kids they used to bring to the house to come over and just do whatever. I would get on them about the house being messy. I'm like, you guys are girls, you better clean the house, and they don't want to do it. So I would get my sister, or I would tell my mom, and my mom would, like, bring it to their attention, and then sometimes they'll get punished for it, and then they just, that's what I mean by I guess I was being too rough with them.
Well, I certainly wasn't trying to words in your mouth. I just didn't know if you meant strict or if you meant physical. And by physical, I mean like as in like punishment physical, you know. So I don't know if you meant by
punishing. I wouldn't do the punishing, but the punishing I would leave up to either my mom, or which is the grandma, or the mom, their mother.
Thank you for that follow-up, sir. Thank you.
Okay, so we're coming to the end of your hearing. We'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement if there's any other information you think we might use to make a decision. We ask that you don't repeat all the information that you've already given us. And once you've done that, we'll bring the discussion and make a determination, okay?
Okay. I would love to be out there with my mother. She has cancer, stage 4 cancer. I would beg God, please let me out there so I could be with her for the remaining of her time. They told her she had 6 months to live. That was in late March. I would do good. I would go back to my job. I would find a place to stay. Like I said, I got a little bit of money saved up there, and my last check from work, I could use that to get a place to stay. And I will continue doing good. It's my first time violating parole. I don't plan on violating parole. I will do the remaining time of my parole good. And I will stay in contact with my officer, like I used to for the time I was out, until all this happened. And I apologize for any inconvenience for you guys, and I truly hope I will get a second chance out there.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board will be more than discussing the department for itself to make the determination. You may think that we're addressing windows in one meeting, but you have to stay on phone, and you listen to the conversation and our decision and all of that. So,
okay.
Just hang in and we'll get right back with you, okay?
Thank you.
The board's now discussing. Well, this is a little bit different, kind of unusual circumstances, but I'm trying to ignore anything. It's the totality of this, the pending issues with the use and everything. I just at this time don't see what we can do for the current community supervision. But I would listen to the discussion, so many of my fellow board members. Okay, based on all the information on, you know, 2-0-9-W-1-3-7-7, that's the information of Mr. Borrell, and all the information from the Department of Correction, I'm going to go to the supervision of Mr. Borrell, as it was a main point, now we have a position of supervision, and have asked you about the last of the clean areas for somebody.
Second. Agreed.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Looking down to myself, that's what I know the channel is doing, it's written out, but it's got some docs, right? Okay, Mr. Borrell, revoke your community supervision at this time. You don't have a whole lot of time left until you get out and you're done with the Department of Corrections, and as long as you don't get any other trouble. And hopefully by that time, the issue with the release will be resolved, and we can get out and go back to work. All right, you have any questions?
So I'm going to have to stay here and do the whole time here?
You're going to have to, the information we have is just released on or about October 14th of 2018.
Okay, I have a question on that. How many days are they saying that I have?
Sir, we have no clue on days given, days taken, or anything else like that. You have to talk to time comp, so get hold of your CO3, and they can check the time comp and tell you exactly how to figure it out, and you have to recalculate it and make sure that's the correct date. Okay?
Okay, you also told me, I didn't catch the part that the phone was breaking up, something about that they want to question me on a battery.
Yes, there's information they want to talk to you about, so they'll be getting probably their releases and they'll talk to you about it.
Okay.
Okay? It's a code case. Right?
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And this way of hearing, and if you see us, we have a phone booth.
Okay.